Blog Talk Radio.
Sports City, what's going on? It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm, holding it down for the Crossover Cafe. You got 90 minutes locked and loaded with the Sports City Chef. So I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Number 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs. Interesting enough, Sportsy, I have to let you in on a little something that's going on right now. And of course, everybody knows, you know, my affiliation with the Hoyas or whatever, but I'm not going to talk about them. Duke is on the ropes in the middle of Charlottesville, Virginia. That's right. These dudes are down as much as 12 right now. Curry's at the line, so hopefully he knocks down this other. I'm not even saying hopefully, but he should knock down the next free throw to cut this to 11. They're down double digits on the road. If you want to, Sports City, come in here. You can throw it around with us. There's been a lot of crazy people coming around Sports City. I'm going to try and keep my finger on that as best as possible because, you know, I'm flattered to hear a lot of people been coming in here trying to wreck things up at Sports City. But we got a show to do, man, regardless. Like I said, the website, sportscityshows.com, we got a lot of things rolling, blogs, got to get it updated. We got to touch base on a lot of things. But let me chill. So calling in by way of the state of Michigan, I got my homie, my little brother, JG. Welcome to the cafe. How you feeling this evening?
Yes, sir, AP. I could be better. I know there's still time left in your game, so best of luck to your team. But my team laid a fat egg last night in the second half. Michigan, they blew a 12-point lead with like 8 minutes to go. Still trying to swallow that one.
My team, you're assuming that I'm a Duke fan?
Isn't that what you were saying on Facebook? Or no, did I read that wrong?
No. I'm a Hoya, homie. I like Georgetown. What I was saying is somebody needs to knock these dudes off as soon as possible because these dudes are on a 10-game winning streak and it's not safe in the top 10, being that Duke is in trouble right now. That's what I was throwing that around. But
right on.
We played the same night. Michigan played and Georgetown played in the same night. And the reason why I said it's not safe is because you guys lost. And I didn't even try to throw Michigan up. And Michigan was up pretty decent on Penn State. But I did ask about you. I only want to hear about you, but just like you said, you could have been better because of, you know, the defeat that you guys suffered on the road out there in Pennsylvania. But
I got the Heat and Grizzly game to look forward to tomorrow night, I suppose. So let's kick it off.
Yeah, and somebody's streak has to end too. I have that as a diss. I have that. Chill out. Get your hand out of the pot. Okay, so calling in by the way of the state of Ohio, we have my brother, my homie, and he has one in the oven too, Brandon B. Welcome to the cafe. How you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling great, man. Maybe my wife's a little bit miserable. She does still have the bun in the oven. We were talking about it 2 days ago. It might be time for it to come on out, and my daughter hasn't come out to grace us with her presence yet. We're just waiting on that to happen, so Sports City, just a little bit of a heads up. If I gotta hang up the phone real quick and you gotta lose me, I might be headed to the hospital. I'll just let y'all know.
That's okay. Yeah, do what you gotta do. Do what you gotta do. We would understand and know what's going on. Now, fortunately, like I said, it's some crazy things going on, and NCAA right now. We got a crazy situation going on right now in the NBA where Joakim Noah just posted a triple-double. I want to see how you guys feel about that and the state of Chicago Bulls right now. I mean, Chicago has been playing some up and down ball as of late, and they're going up against the Philadelphia 76ers. So with that being said, I mean, are you impressed with Joakim Noah posting a triple-double, or are you not too much flattered with that? I'll come to you first, Brandon, and being that Philadelphia really doesn't have a mainstay in the paint, I mean, I do want to give Spencer Hall a little bit of credit, but Joakim Noah, you know, with 11 blocks, that's ridiculous, 20 rebounds and 23 points, that is an awesome game for him to be at home. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I think to me, I'm extremely impressed with the triple-double, seeing how it wasn't assists as the third stat. The 11 blocks to me is absolutely awesome. And to where, I mean, look, the Chicago Bulls have played great team defense all year long. But I agree. Some of the announcers said earlier this evening that the Indiana Pacers may actually play better individual defense than the Chicago Bulls do. As far as an individual stat goes, though, you see these Chicago Bulls, and you see Joakim Noah throwing up 11 blocks, 20 boards. He was a presence all night in the paint. To me, that instantly puts him in the picture at the end of the year into that Defensive Player of the Year category, because 11 blocks in a game really raises up that stat and can do a lot for you. If he can continue having this kind of a year, he could kind of try and sneak in the back door on that conversation. That being said, Chicago Bulls, like you said, it's the 76ers. If this was a playoff team, if this was a team that, you know, we thought was going somewhere, even teams like the Toronto Raptors or the Detroit Pistons before Andre Drummond went down, you know, those were teams that you're at least impressed with a win over those teams. This is what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of, cool, yeah. I mean, let's not forget Spencer Hawes had 20 and 15 in this game for Philadelphia too. So, you know, it's one of those things where Noah's been playing solid defense all year long. He's a big effort guy, puts out a lot of effort throughout the course of a game. And, you know, I'm not surprised to see him put up a stat line close to this. The 11 blocks, however, to me, if you get a triple-double and assists is not one of the things in that triple-double, that's impressive to me. And it's a very rare thing to happen. So, you know, kudos to the Bulls. You know, they obviously have to get some things back on track. At one point in time, they were the I believe they got all the way up to the 3 seed in the East at one point in time. And obviously they've kind of had a fall from grace as of recent times. And, you know, maybe they can right the ship, get back on track, and, you know, get in there and make something happen.
Okay, we do have my other brother from the mountain area of the country. E-Dub is just walking to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
Hey, I'm doing good, brother, and I appreciate that update at the beginning of the show, because anytime Fluke University loses, it's a great day.
Well, it's not over. There's still 7-plus minutes left, and Virginia's up 13. Now, believe me, I have my eye close on this. If Duke loses, right, and I hate to get off topic for today, I would like to talk NCAA basketball here, but I try to keep the dishes as much as these people like to throw it around. But if Duke loses within the past 4 days, right, 3 of the top 5 have lost. 3 of the top 5 have lost. I've never seen how crazy and hectic this has been. They said that there has been 18 losses. If Duke loses, this will be 19 losses in the top 5. All season long. This is a record in NCAA history. I don't even feel comfortable with Georgetown being 7 and they just won their last game. I mean, and the crazy part is Georgetown plays Rutgers Saturday, and I wouldn't want to lose to a sorry like that, but underrated team in Rutgers at home. If they lose to Rutgers, I kind of want that. Duke is just let a 3-pointer go down. They're down 14 right now. This is getting completely out of hand. But Ethan, now that you walked into the kitchen, I mean, we are throwing around a situation that Joakim Noah is in the midst of a game ending right now against the Philadelphia 76ers. He has a triple-double, and I think this game is 14 seconds from being final, and they're up 11 points. So it looks like the Bulls will get away with this. But the stat line that this guy has, 23-20, and 23 points, 20 rebounds, 11 blocks, 1 assist, and 3 steals. If he is not balling, I don't know what it is. But are you impressed, or is this a situation where you think the Bulls are picking on the Sixers because the Sixers aren't playing good ball, especially away from home? These guys are 6-18 away from Philly. I think this is a troublesome situation. But your thoughts?
You know, it's a troublesome situation for Philly, just in a sense that they're young, and, you know, we obviously know they're missing one of their key cornerstones in Bynum. So, but Joakim Noah, hats off to him. He's definitely increased his game. I mean, I've liked what he did this whole year. He's elevated his game in every aspect, points, rebounds, assists, and blocks. So to get 11 block shots, I mean, that's a huge feat. It's like almost thought Mutombo was back out there tonight. You know what I mean? So a huge feat for Joakim Noah. I hope he can keep playing like this. It'll be huge for the Bulls next year when Rose gets back, because there's no way, there's nothing this team could do this year to be a contender, even if Rose came back, because we all know the chemistry. So, you know, look for Joakim to keep getting better and this Bulls team to keep getting better.
Well, with you saying that, they are looking to try and to get Derrick Rose back a part of this roster. I don't know if he'll be back as soon as possible, but they're trying to get him in there. If he gets back, I want to say at least somewhere in the midst of middle of March, even though he's saying that his timetable is questionable right now, I think this can actually push the Bulls somewhat a little bit better than what they are right now. But they are still in the hunt. They are, you know, 33-25 on the season. They are above 500 at home. I give the Bulls credit, man. They've held it together this much without their star, their leader, the face of this team being Derrick Rose. And I've seen him, you know, outside of, you know, gameplay, and he's actually been with the trainers and running sets and doing spin moves, and he's actually dunking. And not only dunking, he's jumping from the dotted. So, like, I wonder what it's going to take for him to be 100% if he's flying like that off of the bad leg. He's actually jumped off the bad leg from the dotted two-hand. So, the doctors out there, I got to give them a lot of credit. They've actually restored this guy as best as possible, but with that being said, JG, I do want to get to you on a situation so we can move away from an epic night for a guy like Joakim Noah. Your thoughts on the triple-double that he just posted up against the 76ers?
Yeah, I agree with what both of those guys, with Brandon and Edub, what they just said. Anytime that you can pull out a triple-double and it's one of the categories is either blocks or steals, that just is a major highlight of your game, being able to not only just have that repertoire in your game, but to be able to explode on a night like that where you just dominate and pretty much take over the game. I do see him possibly definitely being in the conversation, if not winning it, as far as defensive player of the year when that comes down to it towards the end of the year. But, you know, hopefully if they do get Rose rolling, you know, maybe Noah playing like this tonight motivates Rose more and inspires him more to come back and play. I know before tonight when they lost Taj Gibson, you know, they might have been down and D-Rose might have been thinking in the back of his head, you know, let's just hang it up for sure and just rest on our hats for next season. But with Noah playing like this and getting another win, might inspire him to come back and try and make some noise in the playoffs.
And interesting, I think they still do need another piece. Like, it's going to take something else for the Bulls to be in the midst of advancing to the second round and making noise. I mean, they probably could get out of the first round, but you don't want to be in a situation where you come to the dance and dance for the first three songs and then end up going home. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully Derrick Rose is cautious enough about his situation. I agree with him. He wants to take his time before coming back. But I know this Bulls team needs him, and their performance to this rate and really haven't had a mainstay at the point guard position, whether they're going with Nate Robinson or going with Kurt Heinrich. You know, if Derrick Rose is out there, they'll take a load off of these guys and actually be great to have some of these guys come off the bench and be as productive as possible. But with a night like this for Joakim Noah, I definitely have to tip my hat to him. And of course, he's been their garbage man and doing as much as he possibly could. But an 11-block night outside of going 20-20, like having a 20-20 night and having 11 blocks, wow. Wow, and I, you know, looking at the stat line, too, for the Chicago Bulls, I really can't hate on him as much, but, you know, Boozer also had a 20-12 night, too, so he definitely showed up. But Joakim Noah is actually turning into the guy in the paint for this Bulls team, if you will. He actually had an all-star bid this season. So, Joakim, I respect you, man. I definitely had to kick that one off as much as possible, you know, with everybody dipping into this one. Now, I want to heat the kitchen up right now, and this is no drama situation to anybody here, but I do want to talk about this one. Even with the loss that went down, Steph Curry went to the Garden, a.k.a. the Mecca, and put up 54 last night. And the crazy part about it is he shot the ball 28 times and hit 18 of them, so he only missed 10 shots. But, man, this boy put on a spectacle where he couldn't be stopped. Nobody in there could deem him. But the Knicks just end up still pulling that one out. Now, Brandon actually said in the midst of a show where he thinks Golden State will fall out of the top eight, which we still have some time left to see how this does pan out. But with a night like this, if somebody else can step up outside of Steph Curry, I mean, this brother could be a problem. So, Brandon, your thoughts on the night that he had in the Garden, and also give your thoughts on the situation with Golden State as well.
Well, you know, kudos to Steph Curry. Obviously, we've all kind of known that Steph Curry could score. I think that he kind of took that next step forward in being an elite scorer in the league. Obviously, being as young as he is, this is a huge, huge mark for that team. But, you know, to me, this spells nothing but problems for the Golden State Warriors. And when I say that, it isn't to take anything away from, you know, what Steph Curry accomplished or anything like that. It's just the fact that if you've got a guy who puts in 54 points and you don't win the game, that's a problem. And when you've got a guy who can drop 54, and everybody in this kitchen, everybody who we've talked with, everybody who's been on the show has said that, oh, if Steph Curry's on, this team is money. Oh, if Steph Curry's on, this team can do anything, blah, 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 blah. Well, apparently not, because they couldn't beat the Knicks when he dropped 54 on the road in Madison Square Garden, which is traditionally a scoring mecca for everybody in the NBA who is somebody who's a scorer. Jordan lit up Madison Square Garden. LeBron has lit it up. Kobe's lit it up. Everybody who is a scorer has been able to perform at a high level at Madison Square Garden for whatever the reason may be. And, you know, you see Steph Curry do this, and for them to get the loss, you know, like I said, it's a great individual accolade. It's a great job by one person getting something done as far as that is concerned. But at the same time, you know, like you've already mentioned, you know, my prediction was that the Golden State Warriors find a way to get themselves out of the playoffs. As of right now, they're only five games ahead of the Lakers in the Western Conference picture. And to me, that says a lot. They're three. Once again, 2 weeks ago I mentioned it. Their record over the last 10 games was 3-7. As of right now, they're on a two-game losing streak. Their record over the last 10 games, 3-7. They have a negative point differential when it comes to points for and points against. This is a team that, to me, is somewhat fizzling out towards the end of the season. Steph Curry is doing some very good things as far as that's concerned, but you know, I think that there are big time problems with the Golden State Warriors team, and this isn't going to be something that's going to be fixed instantly. I really don't believe. I think that in a night where Steph goes for 54 points, that has to somewhat affect the psyche of that team, knowing that their leader, their scorer can drop that many points and they still lose in the midst of all of the losing that's gone on there. Because let's not forget, at one point in time, this Golden State Warriors team was right at the heels of the Memphis Grizzlies for that fourth seed. And, you know, that's when I called out that I thought that they were going to drop out. And I still think that they're on that downward slide. I'm sure everybody's going to disagree with me, and that's fine. We'll still see what happens. But at the same time, you know, it has to at least worry you a little bit if you're a Golden State Warriors fan out there, which I can be honest with you, I've never met face-to-face anybody who has told me they were a Golden State Warriors fan. It's got to worry you a little bit that this team, you know, with such a high-scoring game, with such a great performance individually, found a way to lose that game.
Okay. But let's be a little fair here before I move this around, okay? He did as much as he possibly can with Klay Thompson going 3-for-13, and he's the shooter. He had an off night. You got a guy in Jarrett Jack. I mean, Jarrett Jack coming off the bench for him and had 37 minutes to play and went 6-for-15. I mean, he's the only real other productive guy that was in the backcourt. Then you had Carl Landry, who had 15 points. You got Beatrice that did not score. You got a situation where David Lee had just gotten into a fight with Roy Hibbert out in Indiana. They were without their all-star. That's an all-star in the paint for these guys. So he has to do as much as he possibly can. They had Draymond Green, the rookie out of Michigan State, who actually had to start, and they basically had two small forwards out on the floor. And he still ended up going 11-for-13 from the three-point line. 11-for-13. That is amazing. That is amazing. And electricity. And with a missing piece and a double-double guy like David Lee. Like, you don't have that. You got guys, you're trying to do patchwork, if you will. And Golden State has been playing some awesome ball at home. It's just that they have to put it together on the road. And they've actually picked up a big win on the road going down to South Beach and beating Miami also. So you can't really, you know, hold too much of this on what, you know, he's done in the Garden. I mean, the Knicks are playing some decent ball, even though they have some questionable losses in the past week or so. But still, yeah, they are a tough team in the midst of
Garden. Ty, let me ask you a question, though. Let me ask you a question. If I would have told you yesterday at the start of the day Steph Curry was going to go for 54 points tonight, would you have told me they lost?
Well, you see, the schematic is just what I said. David Lee is off the floor, so you got to think he needs an additional piece. Regardless if somebody goes for 54, this is a situation where, you know, we had all types of prestigious scorers come out on the floor and still lose in epic battles. Like, I remember when LeBron was playing with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he said it, quote-unquote, and I love the fact that he said that. This is why I respect LeBron. I don't care how many points I put up. If we lose, it doesn't matter in the stat column. And this was a game where he was on the Cavs. They played the Raptors in Toronto. He ended up putting up 56, and they lost. And LeBron was, you know, pretty much, you know, pissed off about the situation at the end of the day. So if there's nobody else out there to help a guy like a LeBron James at that given time and Steph Curry right now, where the highest scorer was Carl Landry coming off the bench with 15, all the other starters, Harrison Barnes had 3 points, 19 minutes of play. You had Klay Thompson, 6 points and 36 minutes of play. Draymond Green, 4 points and 27 minutes of play. I mean, and they basically got caught in a situation where the old school Lakers, you're watching a star go out there and just rather see him put up shots instead of you guys going out there performing. So it's a situation where these guys have to be comfortable with a guy letting go shots like this and also coming out there and putting up points and doing as much as they can to help a team like the Golden State Warriors win. But, you're putting a hat on it. So we have to wait till we get to April to see if Golden State actually falls out of contention or stays in the top eight of the Western Conference.
I agree. But the one thing, I'm glad that you brought up the LeBron reference, because LeBron came out and admitted that game. I remember when that happened. And LeBron came out and admitted that he was upset about it and that you know, it wasn't something that he could celebrate because they didn't get the win. I feel the same way for Steph Curry, and you know Steph Curry feels the same way. He went out and dropped 54. They don't come away with a win, so it takes a little bit of the luster off of the performance that he put up, and I feel bad for him in that aspect. But at the same time, we talk about how David Lee wasn't there. you're right. But even if you just go over their last nine games, they're 3-6 over their last nine games, and David Lee was there for all nine of those games. So my point is, you're right. Last night, these things didn't add up for them to win the game. But my point is, more and more so towards the end of this season and throughout the middle and to the end, the latter part of this season, things haven't been adding up for them to win the games. And that's the way that those things happen. You know, we can talk about how, you know, Kobe's gone out and went, you know, 4-26 or whatever, and how, you know, that's not a typical Kobe night. And if Kobe would have been on, they would have won. Well, it still doesn't matter. It's a loss in the column. And it's a loss that with 54 points by Steph Curry, that you don't want to see your team take a loss when you have a guy drop 54 and have your star player play as well as he did. 11 from 13 from three land is ridiculous. You are absolutely correct.
And this is a situation, if you want to throw Kobe into the mix, I mean, the numbers for Kobe don't even support that. Kobe will score 40 and the Lakers will lose. Like heavily, the percentage is not in the favor of Kobe or the Lakers when he puts up awesome nights like that or goes for 40 or his field goal percentage is extremely high or if he's having an off night. So this is a situation where this happens around the NBA. It's just a situation where he was on the biggest stage in the NBA. I mean, unless you guys tend to consider like the Staples Center or American Airlines down in Miami and bigger stage. But I think the Garden is probably the biggest stage in all of basketball. That's including college ball too. And for him to go out there and perform while the rest of his team basically were spectating, because if you look at this, everybody on the Warriors didn't really come to play except Landry and, you know, Jared Jack partially. Like Jared Jack has been doing it enough, but you got a bunch out of those three, everybody had single-digit performances, and it was under seven. Like, you're going up against guys like Carmelo who put up 35, guys like Tyson Chandler. I can't even expect Tyson to get a 16 and 28 night. Tyson Chandler actually had a 28-rebound night, and that's the highest rebound total that has ever happened for the Knicks since 1971 when Willis Reed walked through those doors. None of us were alive for that situation. Then you got J.R. Smith that came off the bench with 26. Amari came off the bench with 14. That's hard to compete with one guy putting up 54 and the rest of the team basically being pedestrian. Okay, I'm gonna move this around the kitchen and see how these boys feel. Either, how about you? What are your thoughts about Steph walking into the Garden and having such an epic night? I mean, they did lose, but to have this type of night, he was 11 for 13 for three, 100% from the free throw line. Your thoughts on Steph's epic night?
You know, like what you guys just touched on, you know, it even happened to Jordan. Even when he scored 50-plus points, the Bulls would lose, 90% of the game. So when you get that kind of performance from one guy, it seems like the rest of your team is asleep. You only get one shot from Biedrins and four from Harrison Barnes and four from Green. I mean, come on. You have to have more shots and more production out of your starters. I was one of the people that actually ridiculed Brandon, but I'm starting to get on the boat now. It seems like ever since Doc Rivers got threed to death and, prevented the record from happening, that this team has been on a steady slide from that game. I don't know, it kind of destroyed the team's morale. I don't see this team making the playoffs now because you got teams like the Lakers, the Mavericks, the Trailblazers and the Jazz and even the Rockets that are still hanging around in there. And all these teams are hungry, and these teams are playing like they're hungry. The Golden State Warriors have lost three of the last 10 games, so that's a problem right there in itself. We're getting down to the end of the season where teams are starting to make that playoff push, and Golden State's sinking. So Doc Rivers needs to get his team together, get them playing like they were at the beginning of the year, because this team was a third seed, and now look where they're at. They're barely hanging on to a sixth seed right now, which can change within a week. They could be out of the playoffs. So this team's going to have to get –
Mark Jackson.
There you go. Sorry, yeah. I had the Rivers on the brain. But, unless that happens, this team is for sure not going to make the playoffs because the Jazz and Mavericks and Lakers and especially the Trailblazers are making a come up to make that final playoff run.
Okay, JG, your thoughts on Steph Curry's night, and also do you agree or disagree with what Brandon and Edub are throwing out, that these guys will fall out of the top eight in the Western Conference?
A couple weeks ago when Houston, I believe it was 23 or 24 three-pointers, when that all went down, the next show we were all saying, how the hell do you let a team put up 23, make 23, let alone shoot, put up how many they actually put up in the stat line? So how do you let one guy put up 11 three-pointers? You can't double-team or find any type of defender to get a hand in his face. He's, like we've been saying, they had no scorers. David Lee was out. Steph Curry was trying to pick up all the slack that he could. They were getting help from anyone else. So how could the Knicks not put D on him when they didn't have anyone else to worry about? But with that being said, I'm still not jumping off of the bandwagon yet. I still think that they're going to be able to squeak out a playoff spot. I'm not sure how far they will go if they make it, but I'm not going to jump off yet. I still think they'll be able to make it. Seth Curry's finally getting healthy, proving that he's healthy. He's got a strong ankle. I mean, maybe this is a type of mental victory maybe for the team, you know, coming off of that emotional loss the night before, and then last night in, you know, a hostile environment as New York without one of their best players, still putting up a good fight with arguably, you know, a top five or six team in the league. So, I mean, they do have something to hang their hat on. I mean, they didn't lose. Like Brandon was saying, you put up 54 and whatever your numbers are going to be. If you lose, you lose. But if you're going to hang your hat on something, you know, be optimistic. You know, they can look forward to that. And I don't see them dropping out. Still a lot of ball left, so things obviously could change. But as of right now, I'm still sitting on that bandwagon.
Yeah, and they got a point. I mean, out of their last 10 games, they've lost 7, they've won 3, but they've been dealing with all types of situations. And they're on the road. They're on their road stretch right now. Their next game is tomorrow. They play the Celtics in Boston. The Celtics are actually a dish that I have up here as well, so I want to dig into them as much as possible as well, because they've actually been surviving with all the situations that they've gone through. They've actually stayed afloat, and they're above 500. But following the game in Boston tomorrow, they have a game. They have a back-to-back up against the Sixers, where we just talked about the Sixers losing their game up against the Bulls. So this is a situation where I think this could be anybody's game tomorrow, up against the Celtics, let alone going into Philadelphia and possibly stealing one from the Sixers as well. So, I definitely have to tip my hat to what Steph did and, bomb threatening the city of New York and going 11 for 13. That's ridiculous. I mean, what else do you want? Do you want him to hit the other 2 3-pointers as well? Because if so, he would have had a 60-point night in the Garden. Somebody else has to step up, and he's missing a guy like David Lee, who used to be a New York Knick. And I know that would have been an inspirational game, because he's going back into the Garden, a place where he performed for this Knick team and gotten, you know, the people in that crowd pretty hyped up. And just to hear people probably boo him, and when he scores, they get quiet. That would inspire him. I know every time out that he came to the huddle, he probably would clap his hands and say, let's go, just to inspire his team. That wasn't there. They all were just basically in awe of Steph putting up a 54-point night. So this is something that Mark has to go into that locker room or come in to shoot around or practice and inspire those guys or set a fire underneath other people than Steph Curry, because there's only so much Steph can do. And this is good that Steph is actually putting up this type of production, because let's be real, in the past couple of years, Steph has been so injury prone with bad ankle situations. I don't know what type of break they need to make, but I just cringe when he walks on the floor. And when he's available, he's healthy, having a good night. I mean, you can't take that away from Steph. So awesome job for Steph Curry. And he's young, let alone that he had a 54-point night in the Garden. If this continues, he's going to be a terror for a lot of teams in the NBA, let alone he's working with a point guard in Mark Jackson that knows situational basketball. And Steph is learning how to read the situation, because his pops is a shooter and he has the point guard tendency. So I don't know. I'm with you, JG. I'm going to stick with the Warriors remaining in the top eight right now, but it does look questionable. I do give these guys some credit in pointing that out, that these guys are 3-7 out of their last 10 games. And people in Sports City, It has just happened. Duke's loss on the road to Virginia, the Cavaliers, 73-68. They ended up cutting that lead up and making it interesting.
Yeah, right.
One of the guys on Virginia had a 30-point night. I definitely have to give him credit. But like I said, in the past 4 days, three of the top five have lost. If you follow college basketball, if this doesn't shake you up or have you feeling like March Madness is not in 55 minutes, I don't know what it is. I feel like all of these conference tournaments are going to be insane, and let alone the Big Dance is probably going to be like Michael Jackson and Chris Brown battling. I don't know how to put it. I can feel it. That's just
if there
me.
Was,
I mean,
if there's ever a year that a Cinderella team is going to have a chance to win a title, it's this year. That's all I'm saying, man. I believe wholeheartedly that there will be literally, when the play-in games are done, there will be 64 teams that have a chance to win a title this year. I think it's going to be one hell of a March Madness tournament.
Okay, so Sports City, you know what, Sports City, I'm going to do this. Since I feel comfortable with my brothers right now, I'm going to talk a little college basketball, if it's cool with y'all. Can I? Or no, or stick to... to the NBA. Like, can I put that dish out? Okay. So, I mean, we do have a North Carolina fan here, so I'm gonna be as gentle as I possibly can, right? Okay. Now, I don't know how to put this, man. Like, you got Indiana that just lost their game, and these guys were the number one seed in America, and I don't even think they should have been there, because the week that they got put as the number one seed in the NCAAs, they lost that week, and were fortunate enough to be there. You got a situation where Michigan went on the road, you know, top five team, and having one of the best players in the land with Trey Burke, and you got to give a little credit to Tim Hardaway, too, Tim Hardaway Jr., excuse me, but he to me, Tim Hardaway Jr. plays extremely passive at times. Like, he has a ton of talent, but he doesn't use every bag, you know, every trick in the bag that he has. And this is a situation that actually hurts Michigan. But looking at what Duke just went through right now with these guys losing, I'm not sold on Duke, regardless of if, you know, I like Steph Curry. I mean, Seth Curry. I'm stuck on Steph, his brother. But Seth is an awesome shooter as well. I love Plumlee's game because he's probably the best big man in college. I think he's probably one of the, if not the best big man in college. I put him in a conversation with Cody Zeller and the guy Olenek from Gonzaga. But outside of these guys, they don't really have that killer instinct player that'll go and kill you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Seth will go out there and knock down a three, but he plays passive too. That knack or that lack of having that player on it, a lot of these rosters are hurting players. I mean, give or take this situation, I want to hear your thoughts. E-Dub, I'll come to you first. One, let alone the ACC is having a crazy year. Miami's playing some awesome ball. North Carolina had a slow start, but they're starting to turn it around. Duke is, you know, so questionable. You don't know what type of Duke you're going to get. And, by the way, this Saturday they play Miami and Cameron indoors, where you know it's going to be a nuts game. Give me your thoughts on the top 10, let alone the state of NCAA basketball right now.
This is what makes college basketball so great right here. I mean, you know, you have the top 25 system, you know, and we've seen, like you just mentioned, the number one flip-flop the last 2 weeks. I mean, literally. So, you know, it's just been a crazy feat. But I like what Gonzaga's doing right now. I look for them to take control. They've been hot right now. I like what they're doing. Duke, they do have, unfortunately, as a North Carolina fan, they do have the depth. You know, I've seen them play this year. They're playing good. Obviously, you could argue that it's not one of Coach K's best team, but this team was kind of supposed to be in the boat that North Carolina was. You know, they're kind of young. So, you know, Duke's playing hot right now. They're going to be in that top five. I like what Miami is doing. I really was high on them, too. So, I mean, hey, it's great right now. I'm just hoping North Carolina can sneak in to the tournament because, like Brandon just touched on, every team potentially that gets in this tournament is going to have a legitimate shot to make a run.
And you guys play Duke to end the season on March 9th at home, so that's going to be an epic matchup if you guys can pull that one off or not, because they actually ended up winning that game up against you on the 13th, and they only won by five.
We let them off the hook last week. We let them off the hook. We had that game and faltered at the end, so it was pretty devastating.
Okay, I guess I got to save the best for last. So, Brandon, I'll come to you next. Your thoughts on the NCAA right now, especially how everything's been panning out. And like you said, a Cinderella team could definitely shake things up and make a historic run, possibly can end up winning a championship. And like Coach Larinaga down in Miami, he's been a part of the situation with George Mason, where he made the Final Four two different times with a team that was not supposed to get there. He could possibly help Miami get there. But your thoughts all in all, with everything that's gone down in the top 10, 18 losses out of the top five, where teams gotten to the top five, there's been a total of 18 losses all season long. This is an NCAA record. Your thoughts on what's going down in the NCAA?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, like you already mentioned, you know, Miami is playing excellent basketball. You know, I had a opportunity when I lived in North Carolina. I've actually had the opportunity to watch, to me, two of the greatest rivalries in sports live. I know that you got some pool up there in the Syracuse Georgetown area, and I'm not talking anything about that. But you know, I've got a chance to watch Ohio State Michigan play each other in football and basketball. I've also had a chance to watch North Carolina play Duke. I went to Cameron Indoor when I lived down in North Carolina, and I watched Tyler Hansbrough just completely destroy the Duke team down there. I'll tell you this, Cameron Indoor is a tough, tough place to play. And, you know, as much craziness as has gone on this year in the NCAA and in the ACC and everywhere, in the Big Ten. I mean, look at the Big Ten. I mean, you got guys knocking each other off left and right. Ohio State beats Michigan. Michigan beats Ohio State. I mean, just going back and forth. Indiana, Michigan State, you know, Illinois has played some big games this year. I mean, just really there's been just so much equality across NCAA basketball. You know, and let's not forget Gonzaga's got a big game tonight against BYU. That you know, that's definitely going to be a huge game as far as the landscape of things goes. You know, Gonzaga could land up in that number one spot themselves. Who would have thought that Gonzaga would have been ranked number one? But you know, at the same time, you know, like I said, Cameron Indoor, very, very difficult place to play. Miami is going to come in there. Now, it's interesting that you bring up the George Mason season. We're going to the Final Four and, you know, doing what they did. Like I said earlier, guys, I really do believe that this is the year that a small team can make a run. And I'm going to go out on a limb right now and tell everybody to watch out, you know, for some of the mid-major teams and things like that that are going to be coming in at your 14 seed, your 13 seeds, and even up into the 15 and 16s. But, you know, to me, college basketball is at the peak of what makes college basketball great. And that is the fact that these kids come in here and they're not playing for money and they're not playing for a contract and they're not doing any of that. These kids go out there and they play because they love the game, and they play because they're trying to win a championship and do it in a way that, you know, I think it, hands down to me, the best system that we have as far as finding out who a national champion is in collegiate sports is, to me, the NCAA basketball tournament. I think that they've made some tweaks. I don't mind the play-in games. I like the fact that they give, you know, some smaller market teams and some bubble teams a little extra shot because, you know, we've seen teams like a George Mason or like a Butler a couple years ago when they weren't heard of or you know, some teams like that, a chance to make some noise in the tournament, you know. And the greatest thing about NCAA basketball is it just takes one game. Once you get to the tournament, you win one game. And you just take it one game at a time. And I know it's the same as everything else, but in the NBA you have you know, seven game series and things like that, and that really kind of shakes things up. Also, with the same thing with you know, with baseball and everything, I like the fact that it's a true tournament system. You bracket it out, and you guys just go out and play. You know, interesting point being brought up. I think these conference tournaments are going to be absolutely ridiculous. I think that you may get a chance to see some of the best basketball all year in both the Big Ten conference tournament and in the ACC conference tournament and in the Big East conference tournament. You know, these are going to be phenomenal, phenomenal tournaments to watch. You know, obviously they're going to be great tune-ups for the actual March Madness tournament. Some of these teams that are pretty much guaranteed a spot in are really going to try and tool up their teams and make sure they're ready to make a run. You know, I do, you know, we talk about Duke going down this evening. I do kind of find it a surprise that Virginia was able to pull off the win. But it wasn't a fluke. They came out and they outplayed the other team, and that's all that there is to it. I really do think, however, guys, you're going to see a team. This is my prediction. I'll just go ahead and make it now. You're going to see a team seeded less than seven win a national championship this year. That's my prediction. I think that this is the year that it will be done.
That's a bold-ass prediction.
Well, JG, I'll let you speak on it. Your thoughts on the situation that Brandon just presented, and also if you want to talk about what just happened with the Maize and Blue, please do so.
Well, I'd rather not touch on the Maize and Blue from last night, but I'm just hoping that they can get their shit together in time for that Ann Arbor matchup they got with their crosstown rivals on Sunday. But we already kind of touched on it. This is a hell of a year for college basketball, and earlier in the year, there were analysts on ESPN and whatnot, and they were saying, debating with each other, if whether or not, because there isn't a clear-cut runaway team, if that was a negative thing to the league. And I haven't heard much chatter of that recently, but I disagree with that 100%. The fact that it's so spread out, like how Brandon was just saying, anyone is going to have just as good of a chance as the next. I mean, obviously, the better teams who are ranked higher for longer periods of time, they're going to be a better team and have, you know, obviously the better chance with that. But as far as the NCAA tournament being the best format or strategy or way to go about determining the national championship, I actually think that I don't think it's the best way to determine the championship, the champion, but to determine the best team, but it's the most exciting because of the fact, what we already said, how it's just one game at a time. If one team comes out hot, that's it. You know, you're going to get that win. Where in the NBA and in baseball, in hockey, you play a tournament. So if you have one bad game or a bad call or, you know, someone's not feeling right or you pulled a hammy late in the quarter or something, that won't determine the outcome of your whole season. You know, the more games that you play, the larger sample size that you have, the more that it'll rise to the top, the more that the better team will shine at the end. But I love college basketball this year. Every game seems like it's either a blowout of a good team killing a small school or it's coming down to a nail-biter. I mean, that game just now with Duke, I mean, it ended up being like, I think, a 6 or 7 point game. Every game is going to be good. As far as a top 7 team winning it or a top under 7 ranked seed winning it, I mean, yes, it is possible, but I don't see it happening. I still see one of the top 15 teams ranked right now making it all the way and taking the title.
You know, and the other thing I want to throw this out there, you know, gentlemen, let's not be confused. This is a direct correlation between the rules in the NCAA and NBA as far as being able to draft high school players. I'm telling you that I believe that you are going to continue to see more of the same as far as this is concerned. You are going to see more even play around the entire country as far as NCAA basketball is concerned, because these guys are now doing the whole one-and-done thing. Could you imagine could you imagine if they made it like it is with football and made it a 2-year rule? And could you imagine Kentucky having brought back their squad from last year and having those guys together for another season? Or can you imagine, you know what I mean? So I really think that we're seeing this much parity around the league because of the fact that you have so many one-and-done players. Teams aren't really able to get the kind of chemistry that they were able to get before, having juniors and seniors on the floor and having, you know, a lot of guys who have been there for a long amount of time there. I think that's the reason why you see these good teams losing these kind of games, is because these players that are one-and-done are going to these good schools traditionally, because that's where, you know, obviously the good players are going to go. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I really think that the reason we see the parity around the NCAA is because of that.
And, Brandon, I totally agree with you 100%. But to be honest, I don't want to dip into it too much, because that's actually what I got working in the lab over here. So I don't want to say too much on it.
Okay. You know, the one thing about Gonzaga that I look at, like, they are playing some extremely good ball. They're up 9-4 up against BYU, which they're in Brigham Young tonight. So if BYU pulls off an upset tonight, Georgetown, you got, as much as I don't want to lose the Rutgers, because that'll be a bad loss, but you guys have to lose this Saturday, because I don't want to go into the Big East tournament and lose in the first round, because you'll have probably the world's biggest bullseye on you. But they've been playing some awesome ball. You know, these guys are talking about all of these other teams out here in the NCAA, and Georgetown has been playing some great ball. I guess since I'm the homer here, I don't want to talk about them as much, but I don't know what to say, especially with these guys being in a situation last night up here in my hometown in Connecticut, and I had everybody texting me, sending me messages, oh, you guys are about to go down, and then Georgetown had a big lead, and, you know, they ended up losing a 5-point lead with, like change on the clock. Double overtime basketball. I mean, what do you expect best out of the Big East? It's always an overtime game with UConn. UConn always gets the thrill in it. You know, even though these guys can't play any conference tournament, they can't play in the Big East because they're on probation. They can't make the big dance, and they've had some big wins just because of the situation that happened with Coach Calhoun. And Calhoun was at the game, and Georgetown went down 7 in the double overtime with like 2 minutes left on the clock, and then they came charging back, and Otto Porter goes coast to coast, hits a layup, and they ended up walking out of Gamble. That's the first time Georgetown has won in Gamble. Like, they've been up there and won in Hartford, but they've never been on Stores, where the camp, you know, been in the end. Where, if you've ever been to UConn's campus, their gym is right in the middle of all of the dorms. Every, like, you got that aura of UConn on you, and they went in there and stole that game. And just to see how Georgetown's been playing, these guys are on a 10-game winning streak right now. If they don't lose the Rutgers, they have to lose their next game, because if not, they'll be on, what, a 12-game winning streak. And believe me, everybody that sees them, they're going to be the number one seed in the Big East tournament with the 2-game bye, and basically they have to wait for their next competitor. Whoever they play is going to try to play their hearts out to knock off Georgetown, because that's kind of like, you know, David and Goliath. And this is just in one conference. This is just in one conference. I mean, Ohio State went to Northwestern, even though they won by 10 points today. That was a scary situation. You got Penn State was unranked. They were at home up against Michigan, a top-5 team in America, and they ended up knocking off Michigan. I mean, this is going on all across the NCAAs right now. And I must say, we are 30-plus minutes away from being away from March. I could just feel the aura of how it's going down in all these conferences, whether it's the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12, all of these games, all these teams are stepping up. The only conference that I worry about is the WCC, where Gonzaga and them are at. I mean, outside of, like, BYU, some of the San Diego State, if those guys will come out and play their best ball, Gonzaga's going to roll on those guys. Like that's how I look at it right there. They probably have the comfortable situation walking towards the big dance. Otherwise, everybody else, you better put on a sparring headgear and get ready for every team's best haymaker, because you're going to get it. Nobody is safe. Nobody is safe for college basketball. The call number is 917-889-9552. I do want to address the situation and see how JG feels about this one and throw it around the kitchen, too, and see how other people feel. Now, we were just 2 weeks away, or 2 weeks past that from the All-Star Weekend and the dunk contest and how miserable us as fans watching the dunk contest and wanting to see some hype up go on and why LeBron won't jump into his doggone thing. Now, if you've seen a Heat game or if you've been to a Heat game or know LeBron as the player on the floor, everybody knows when he's in the layup line, he has his own dunk contest. Now there's a situation arising that people saying that he needs to cut it out. And he's actually spoke on it and thinking about that he should stop. But you know what he said? I am still going to do my dunk antics at the beginning of the game. And he has the right to do that. I don't know why people are picking on him. Well, oh, he should join a dunk contest or whatever, which me personally, I want to see him in a dunk contest because every great has done it. They've all been in the event somehow one way or another, whether it was a three-point contest. I mean, heck, Michael Jordan even got into the three-point contest one year. I still remember that. Like, outside of him doing the dunk contest and winning it three different times, I mean, you had all of the big names. Even Vince Carter went there one year and just electrocuted everybody in Oakland. Nobody was ready to see that. Now, there's a situation where, yeah, LeBron may be up in age. He's, what, 28? And he's not old. But the dunks that he's doing in the layup line are ridiculous. And, I think he should be in a dunk contest doing this. And especially the year, what was it, 3 years ago, him and Cheryl Miller had the interview on the sideline, and he promised the world that he would be in a dunk contest and never, you know, signed up or never gave people the okay. Because believe me, if he goes into the dunk contest, you know how much hype and how many people he would draw into the dunk contest, let alone him being there. It wouldn't just be him and Jeremy Evans and a bunch of guys that aren't getting play time. LeBron would draw some names out. I don't know if it'll be all of the big guns, but at least one or two. But JG, your thoughts, because this is your guy, and the Heat have been streaking outside of this situation that LeBron has been doing before the game. Your thoughts, do you think he should keep up doing the dunk antics and getting loose for his boys, or do you think he should just go up in there, shoot jump shots, and lay the ball up?
Well, as we all know, the dunk contest is nowhere near the level that it was at in the past, and if it was near that level still where the actual stars in the league would be contestants in it, then, you know, like if LeBron would go behind closed doors and give a phone call, you know, to a Blake Griffin again or to a Durant, you know, the guys who can throw down that people want to see, you know, that would make him, you know, more likely to do it instead of just him doing it with a bunch of no-name guys. Because if you were to put him just on paper with the contestants from this year, I mean, you would be a fool to say that he wouldn't end up winning it. But as far as dunking and all the dunks that he's doing before the game, I do not see the problem with that at all. Who cares? Let the man do what he wants to do. If he's going to dunk, let him dunk. They're saying that the Heat are bringing in fans like an hour and a half before the game. The stadium's getting more packed than it ever has just to watch LeBron do like four or five dunks. And it's just like, you know, batting practice before a baseball game. You know, obviously just the batting practice itself is similar to just like a layup line or shooting jumpers. But so are you going to tell, you know, Cabrera or Prince Fielder that before a game, you know, you're going to do batting practice, just don't hit any home runs out. You know, we don't want that to happen. You're not going to tell a guy that. If he wants to dunk, let him dunk. If he wants to put on a show for his fans who pay money to come see him, let him do it. It's what he wants to do. It's obviously not hurting his game. It's obviously not hurting any team chemistry. They've won 12 in a row, 17 out of the last 19. Don't even mess with it. Just leave it alone. Let the Heat ride.
That's you call fighting for your team. Well, E-Dub, your thoughts on this situation. How do you feel about LeBron, you know, opening up the game with the dunk antics?
Just like JG just touched on, man, that's fine and dandy. He's entertaining his fans. You know, it is entertainment, even though it is professional sports. You're paying to, you know, go see him. The dunk contest, it would be nice to see him in, but just like JG touched on again, you can't have this guy in a dunk contest with the lineup they had this year. You're going to have those superstars. But I'm going to go back to what I said last time. The dunk contest is dead. after D. Brown, Dominic Wilkins, Jordan, Vince Carter, Kobe Bryant. I mean, everything that has been, I mean, there's no more to do. So that's what I think LeBron's mind state is. It's not that he's scared. He doesn't want to do it. It's like, you know, what can I do that no one's seen? That's what the big problem is with the dunk contest. They need to get rid of it altogether. The Heat need to focus on what they're planning on doing this year, and that's winning a championship. They're on a 12-game ride right now. So, I mean, the team's just playing out of their minds. LeBron James has stepped up to that next level, so I'd like to see him continue. And then maybe in 5 years we can have the greatest of all time conversation.
If the dunk contest would go back to the rules that they used to have, I mean, these guys, they used to get one or maybe two attempts at a dunk. Now these guys get like a minute and a half to try and get a dunk off. I mean, yeah, the dunk could look as sweet as hell as you want it to be, but if you can't get it done within one or two tries, then it's obviously too hard of a dunk, hence the competition. If you can get a badass dunk done in one try, then all props to you. But they're letting these guys get too many attempts at it, and obviously, you know, you do one type of a dunk seven, eight times in a minute and a half, you're either going to get it done eventually, or you're just going to lose your legs, and it's going to be even worse as you go on.
Right, and I agree with that. If they miss that first, I want to say the first three dunks, they don't have that same lift like they want to, and it ends up being a corny dunk, except Terrence Ross. I mean, once Ross got that dunk that he was putting behind his back, even though I've seen John Wall pull that dunk off, but it took him a couple attempts. It's like it loses its luster, and they still ended up giving him a 50 for pulling that dunk off. But, Brandon, your thoughts on the situation with LeBron opening up these games and having his own little dunk contest to himself and everybody making a big spectacle about it, and he, you know, going out and saying that he wanted to stop it. He said, you know what, I want to continue to do it. Your thoughts? I mean, is it a situation that he continues to hype his team up and the people of Miami, or do you think he puts it away and settles for jump shots and lays the ball up as well?
Well, I mean, look, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If something happened to where he did one of these dunks and broke a finger on the rim or, you know, did something along those lines, then I'd say you can then you can talk or about maybe cutting it out. But, you know, the bottom line is when we go back and think about the dunk contest, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if you guys saw or not, but about I can't remember which game it was. It was less than a week ago. The dunk that LeBron pulled off in the shoot-around at the beginning of the game, in my eyes, would have won the dunk contest this year. Absolutely, yeah, behind the back. The windmill type looking deal. It was absolutely ridiculous. This guy, look, he's putting on a show for the fans. There's not a problem with it in my eyes. And I'm a LeBron fan. I would say the same thing if any other player in the league was doing it. I have no problem with anybody in the league putting on a show during this type of thing. You know, JG brought up a great point. It would be like, you know, telling Miguel Cabrera during batting practice before a game not to hit any home runs, and maybe he was injured during the All-Star game and didn't compete in the home run derby. It's absolutely ridiculous. You're gonna do what you're gonna do, and as far as getting the fans hyped up, getting his team hyped up, you know, I mean, I can't really speak for everybody here, but I've been at a rec center before and seen a guy just joking around and throw down a monster dunk, and all of a sudden people are kind of looking around like, damn, you know, oh, I want that guy on my team, blah, blah, blah. It does something for the morale of your teammates. It does something for the morale of your fans. And, you know, those Miami fans can get pretty loud down there. And, you know, if he wants to do this kind of thing, I don't have an issue with it. It's one of those things where I think that this is something that LeBron's going to deal with for the rest of his career. Someone will always find something to bitch about when it comes to LeBron James. And that's just the way it is. You will always find something wrong with LeBron James. And you know, it doesn't matter how much he proves himself. It doesn't matter if he goes out and wins a couple more titles. Well, he still doesn't have six, so he's not Jordan, so he's not the greatest, blah, blah, blah. It's always going to happen with LeBron because of how much he was hyped up coming into the league, how much, you know, the decision was built up because of the fact that he took the powder clap and everything. I mean, let's not get that twisted either. Kevin Garnett was doing that for years as well. So, you know, I just really don't see a problem with any of the pre-game antics, especially if he's coming out and dropping 40 in a game and his team is winning the game. I just don't see a problem with it. If it became a sideshow, if it became a thing that was a hindrance to his team or anything like that, I can see where it would be a problem. But, you know, it's not a problem, obviously. 12 wins in a row. This team is rolling right now, and like I said at the beginning of my little rant here, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I say keep dunking, keep throwing them down, and keep showing to everybody that, you know, that you are the best in the game.
Okay, and me personally, I mean, I want to see him get out there. Just because you see LeBron on those fast breaks and, you know, his one hand cocked back, like, his head is near the rim. I like seeing people get up like that. I mean, people say you need to put the rim up. You need to put the rim up. No, don't put the rim up. Just because these guys are getting off the floor at that rate, I mean, at the end of the day, a dunk inspires everybody that's, you know, watching the game, let alone in these events at the dunk contest at the All-Star Weekend. I mean, everybody wants to see an ill dunk contest. Like, even, I mean, the most memorable one as of recent history to me is Vince Carter. Even though Jason Richardson went up in there and caught some wreck, I mean, he had a crazy East Bay off-the-bounce dunk. But, like, Vince Carter's one, like, from 2000. I mean, I can still remember right now Shaq with his camcorder jumped out of his seat, walked into the floor, like, basically with the ugliest face ever, like, oh, my goodness, like, looking at Vince go crazy. I could just imagine LeBron catching one of those dunks and, you know, whatever came to his mind on a dunk and just exciting people. That's what these people paid for, to come out here to see these all-stars go out there and do work. They didn't come out here to see Jeremy Evans. They didn't come out here to see Terrence Ross. I mean, I love how Gerald Green gets off the floor, but a lot of people didn't care about Gerald Green. I mean, unless you know that, you know, his capability of dunking. I mean, yeah, you think he can come out and do something like that. I mean, a lot of guys have lost the ability to think and go out there and be creative for a dunk. I mean, LeBron, you can go out there and steal a dunk contest over what you do in the layup line. That's what I'm hanging my hat on. If you really are fretting that, hey, it's not enough money in the pot to go out there and pull these dunks off, because I think the winner gets, I think, $25,000 or $50,000. So what, man? You're going to spend that tonight or the night of the All-Star break. Like, and you guys are right. I mean, people are picking on LeBron just because of his superstar situation and how he doesn't get into the events on All-Star weekend. But it's just me personally. Just go out there and do it. So what? If you lose, you lose. If you flatten everybody, you got three dunks that rank for 50 across the board, then go out there and dominate it, just like Vince Carter did. I can still remember right now when Vince did the reverse 360, when he went the other way and did the windmill and came to the camera and said, it's over. That's all you got to do. Just shut it down like that. And I'm hyped by like that. Like, I'm spoiled because I'm a Thunder fan, and if Russ is on the fast break, I just stand up. I don't care where I'm at. If I'm at home, if I'm in the middle of the bar or at Buffalo Wild Wings, I'm watching that game, I stand up, and I know something crazy is about to happen. Sports City, we got one of our own calling in, the post-birthday boy himself, Aaron Sirius Simmons. Welcome to the Cafe. How you feeling this evening?
I'm good, man. It's a pleasure to be with you all on another Thursday edition of the Cafe. What's going on?
Not too much. We had a couple of interesting topics go down. I know your favorite basketball team in college basketball just took a loss, so I'm with you. You know, the Duke Blue Devils just lost. So
you go with this craziness already. I ain't been on the show 30 seconds. You trying to get the booty hype.
I got to make you laugh. At least you're smiling. I got to do something. Y'all make me laugh on my birthday shoes. So I got to do what I can do in Sports City. But
on your book that I send you, you know, Villanova tape, or I send you a tape of, you know, Randy Moss getting hit up across the middle or something like that. Your birthday coming. I got you. Serious, got you.
Okay, you want to throw Villanova in there? Okay, that's fine. He's swinging. I got to retreat. What's on your mind, boys? I mean, we threw out NCAA. Duke just went down. Within the past 4 days, three of the top five got knocked off. There's a situation right now where the Lakers are playing the Wolves. If they let the Wolves come in the Staples Center and win this game. Also, there's a situation we're talking about Steph Curry's 54. Your thoughts on that? I mean, we got a whole bunch of dishes that you just missed. So,
I'll jump on, you know, the Steph Curry thing, because I was actually sitting there on my birthday. It happened yesterday on my birthday, and I'm sitting at the bar with my homies, you know, throwing some drinks back with us, celebrating 29 years of life. And I'm seeing Steph Curry just light up and wow, like a Christmas tree. You know, I mean, that was ridiculous. So shout out to Steph Curry for doing that. So other than that, man, I really got too much to spit on the other topics. You know, the whole NCAA thing with the number of, you know, one team going down and then, you know, other teams losing. You know, for me, the NCAA, you know, NCAA really doesn't get hyped and stuff at this time. You know, when Selection Sunday gets here, we'll see where the team's falling. And that's kind of when I start paying attention to it. As far as teams that don't wear that, you know, North Carolina Tar Heel, you know, blue and white. So I was glad to see Duke get their tail kicked today. That was beautiful. But, you know, I could definitely pick back up, you know, on a future dish. So let's get moving on.
Well, there's another team that wears blue and white. It's not baby blue. It's navy blue. I don't know if you know who they are, but I know you go to a couple of their games. I'm at least proud of you in that spectrum.
Yeah, no, I tell you what, the little Georgetown puppies and go ahead with themselves. I ain't worried about them either.
Gotta get you.
Yeah.
Got it back.
You just mad because I go to more games than you go to and you's a fan of the squad. This the brother that's
If I lived in D.C., I would be there. If I lived in D.C., you know I would be front row with you watching the player of the year do work.
Wow, you think you're player of the year? I don't know if you're player of the year.
Hey, I put the link up. If you want, you can go look at the link. I didn't say it.
I don't know. That chap from Indiana right now still got a lot cold on that player of the year. But, you know, we need to get a college basketball show for this one. This NBA crossover cafe, man. Let's go to work.
Hey, not with that loss that they just took. Shoot, this way, Otto Porter just went and put up 33 in Syracuse, just won a buzzer beating situation in UConn. I mean, you got to give this boy some credit. He's only a small boy.
Yeah, I will give him some credit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I will give him some credit.
Wait, before he goes any further, Sports City, before he goes any further, I think we just got some history out of this person. But you know what? Look. When you get older, you get wiser. So he's getting wiser.
Oh, wow.
He's getting wiser. He's getting smarter, y'all. He's getting smarter. I think he's 29 right now. So by next year, he'll be 30. I think I'll have his papers ready for him to sign with Georgetown. But right now, he's still Christian Baptist, you know. Let him praise the Lord how he needs to. But I'm gonna get him Muslim and bring him over to the navy blue and gray. We got him. That's why he goes to the games. He's been trying to practice the religion. Pretty soon he's gonna be going to games singing Nam Yang Rike Yokyo.
I am not prepared to turn down free basketball tickets. If I get floor seats to a game, I don't care for WNBA. My black behind is going to be front row center with a drink in one hand and a hot dog in the other hand, acting like I'm the craziest dude on the building. I get free tickets all the time.
Sports City, he told me in his own time that he's a Georgetown fan on the low. I'm just trying to get him to convert and come out and say that he's going to.
Get out of here with that nonsense.
You might as well leave North Carolina. I mean, you could tell E-Dub, because E-Dub might have to leave North Carolina, too. I got a whole bunch of brothers.
You're on blue, homie. You might as well leave Georgetown.
Not the way we're looking right now. I'm sorry. Not the way we're looking right now.
That's like one of them bandwagon fan statements right there. I'm going to be their fan because they're looking good right now. But once they start choking, you know what I'm saying, I'm a jump shit. That's the first time of a bandwagon fan.
Serious, you've been around me through the bad times at Georgetown. You've been around. Have I left? Look, you've been around me with the Lions on an 11-game losing streak. Hold on, just answer the question. I don't need you beating around the bush.
Well, there's your answer, bro. No one's leaving North Carolina, and we're still going to get into the tournament, so don't worry about it.
If Duke takes your head off, I doubt that you guys get there. You guys have to beat Duke. Point blank, period. You guys can keep winning all these little games if you want to. If y'all don't have a big win in your back pocket, you guys will be NIT bound. The call number is 917-889-9592. Now, we got some interesting situations. I already heated this kitchen up because I got serious in the building and I had to talk about these punk Tar Heels. I had to talk about these dudes. But there's a situation that I'm getting into the politics, if you will. And I might have to extend the show because we might get in the depth of this because we are down to the last little bitter in the sports city right now. I don't know if I have to close this one up, but Dennis Rodman went to North Korea and was chilling with the guy that was actually beefing with the USA, Kim Jong-un. I think that if I butchered his name, I apologize. Please don't bomb the U.S. I'm speaking on the behalf of my country, even though I know I don't hold that much weight, but hey. Dennis Rodman went and chilled with this guy, was at an event. They were sitting side by side, and Dennis Rodman comes out with the quote, "You have a friend for life." Now, I'm going to go to you first, Brandon, and see how you feel about this, right? Do you think Dennis Rodman, out of everybody laughing at him and him having his money financial situations and him being one of those grunge guys that loves the heavy metal, him with the, like over 30 piercings on his body, his whole body is tattooed up. Can this guy actually be the guy that can patch together the break apart, if you will, or the beef that the U.S. has with North Korea? Do you think Dennis Rodman has the tools to do it?
This to me is absolutely a really, really controversial topic. You can see it in the way that you're looking at it there. You can also see it in a different way. At no point in time has it ever been okay for anything like this to go on in the past. The genocide part of it out, it has been widely known that North Korea absolutely hates the United States of America. They have, in the past, they have funded terrorism against the United States. They have tried to, you know, done the missile testing to try and get an ICBM together that can reach the United States from North Korea. They have repeatedly broken embargoes and trade agreements against nuclear material. And this to me, Dennis Rodman, to me, walked a fine line when he was in the NBA, and even after his time in the NBA, obviously battling alcoholism. We all saw him talking to Dr. Drew in Celebrity Rehab or whatever it was, and all of this. I think that this is absolutely the worst move that a Dennis Rodman could make for both A, his career, B, his stature, and C, for the United States of America, because Dennis Rodman does not represent the greater good of this country. And you know, you can think what you want about it, and that's absolutely fine. But in my estimation, Dennis Rodman is not the type of ambassador that we want to try and send over to a country. Now, we didn't send him anywhere. He went over there, and he's actually been quoted as saying that he is now a lifelong friend of Kim Jong-un, who obviously is the son of Kim Jong-il. This, to me, is beyond any kind of acceptable level of anything. This has got Dennis Rodman's name back into the headlines, sure. But to me, North Korea, in my eyes, is an enemy of the United States. And to have somebody who has represented the not necessarily the country, but has represented the NBA, an organization that is predominantly a United States organization. Obviously, you know, you had the Vancouver Grizzlies, you still have the Toronto Raptors. This to me is beyond reproach. I don't think that this is something that is going to turn out well. I just don't see any good coming from this situation, and I can only hope that, you know, Dennis Rodman sobers up and realizes what the hell he's doing right now.
Okay, now this is going to be quite controversial. So I like this. So Brandon doesn't agree. Okay, let me come to you, EW. Your thoughts on Dennis Rodman? Do you think he could be the guy that could patch together the breach between the U.S. and North Korea, or do you agree with him that he's idealistically not the guy that should be heading this situation? I mean, literally, they told us if we step 1 millimeter off of our shores to go toward North Korea, that he would start some drama. Rodman goes there, and these guys are chilling, laughing, enjoying events together. If it doesn't look right, but it's working, I mean, do you get mad at it? I mean, your thoughts?
It's kind of funny and a head-scratcher, and, you know, like Brandon said, too disrespectful in one sense. I mean, if he could actually pull something like that off, you know, fine and dandy, but, you know, what in the hell is he doing over there? This guy is our number one enemy, way more force. I mean, these guys are more of our enemy than the Arabs ever will be, you know, the Taliban or whatever the government likes to call them. So, this is definitely a head-scratcher. And then talking about being an ambassador for the United States for North Korea, I mean, wow. Yeah, I mean, where do you begin with this story? I just think, like Brandon touched on, it's a publicity stint. Horrible idea. And then you're saying you got a friend for life in me, you're telling this guy, and then inviting him back to come to your house and chill in the United States. So, yeah, I just think it's a ridiculous story, head scratcher. It's a bad publicity stint that's going to backfire in his face, guaranteed.
Do you think he was a Chicago Bulls fan, or he had to have been? He had to follow somebody.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's the only way I can see these guys having this liking. JG, your thoughts on the situation with Dennis Rodman going over there, you know, making it peaceful somewhat for now? I hope Dennis Rodman could clear this up, because if so, then this would be the story of all stories. And, you know, with all his financial situation, the U.S. will have to clear that up. They'll have to with his children, you know, and him making some money somehow, some way. But your thoughts, JG?
I mean, more power to the man if he's able to go over there and accomplish anything in a positive light. But as far as reality and actually Dennis Rodman being the person to fill those shoes to accomplish something of that feat, it's Dennis Rodman. He's not Gandhi. He's not going to be able to accomplish something that the governments have obviously had on their plate for more than however long Dennis Rodman's had this idea to go over there in the first place. Rodman, I don't know how desperate this guy is to try and get his name back out into everyone else's mouths. I mean, he was just on that reality celebrity rehab show like maybe 2 years ago. I mean, hopefully on his way back or on one of his trips to or from, hopefully he doesn't get busted for having drugs with him or something and makes, you know, all of America look like shit. So if he is somehow able to accomplish anything that's positive, then I'm all for it. But I do not see – I don't see Dennis Rodman fulfilling any of that.
Honestly, Todd, you know what I think has happened here? I think that the North Korean government agreed to let Dennis Rodman come over as a show to the people of North Korea an example of what an American is. And this, to me, is nothing more than a mockery of the United States. And I just I know that this
really?
You know, that we hope that this is something that goes well and everything else. But the bottom line is, I don't see a coincidence in the fact that you bring a guy that we've just stated has been on, you know, celebrity rehab and has all of these issues and all the child support stuff and not being in his kid's life. And basically the only redeeming quality for Dennis Rodman was the fact that the guy could ball and get rebounds like no other in the NBA. And that was the redeeming quality for him as far as society, in a sense, was concerned. Outside of that, if you look at the life that Dennis Rodman has led and the things that he has done in his life, he would be shunned by society. He would be an outcast in our society, and he is not what would be called an example of what we see as the American way necessarily. And for him to be brought over and seen in that light, I truly believe that is a propaganda tactic by the North Korean government, by Kim Jong-un, to get more of a negative light shined onto the United States. And I think that Dennis Rodman fell directly into it.
Hey, like,
really?
Is that
fair, man? I mean, come on. They're like, so Dennis Rodman is the mockery situation of the U.S.? I mean, hey,
I
don't know.
Well, let me ask you this
question,
too, Kim.
I mean, would you watch Dennis Rodman representing you? Would you want Dennis Rodman to go to an important board meeting or something to represent you personally?
No, I'm not saying. Hey, I'm not saying that it's the best move, but nothing else works. Nothing else works. Like Obama tried to go over there. They said if Obama went over there and tried to make it happen, that they would start something. Don't come off your shores and come to war with North Korea. You get Dennis Rodman in a situation to go hang out with this guy. I don't know, man. I don't know. If they're sending Dennis Rodman back to the U.S. just to laugh at him, he's already stated that they have somewhat of a camaraderie. I don't know if he sent Rodman back with a nuclear bomb in his back pocket or something. Who knows, man? But at the end of the day, if these guys are cool, if he can pass clear his head. No, I just said that. I mean, it may have been cases. I apologize for City, but
right, it's
like,
just hilarious, man, that we're even having this conversation.
But it's true, though. I mean, who has been clear cut to go over there to make this happen? Anybody that's in politics right now, Obama or Biden or all of the advisors that they have underneath him, or even before that situation with the Bush administration, like nobody has gone over there and made this a peaceful situation. And hey, at least he's gotten that far. He actually got next to the dude and chilled. I don't mean, he shook his hand and they went other ways. If he went to a hotel, they were chilling at the same hotel. No, they were chilling. They were chilling. Like,
you
gotta respect that.
But how genuine is it, you know, from Bong Joon-Kim? I mean, is it genuine? Dennis Rodman, like Brandon brought up a good point. He may have just fell into a, you know, scam.
Yeah.
One thing
is
serious
about this is that Carmen Electra is damn fine.
Well, yeah. Sirius, how do you feel about this situation? Do you think that this is a situation where Rodman is actually being ridiculed by going over there trying to make something happen, or do you think this holds some type of weight and Kim Jong-un holds some type of weight to this?
You know, I will say this. You know, I definitely echo the sentiments and the opinions and, you know, what has been said, you know, before me, I'm going to put another spin on it, gentlemen. You know, throughout Dennis Rodman's latter part of his career, especially when he's with the member of the Chicago Bulls, not so much when he's with the Babcock Pistons, you know, I know the freak, you know, knows him, you know, from when he was with the Pistons and whatnot. But, you know, his Chicago Bulls days up until now, you know, Dennis Rodman has been the black sheep, the laughing stock, the cornball, if you will, of the NBA. You know, this is the guy that, you know, started tattooing himself all crazy. You know, this is the dude that had his hair in 50 million different colors before Birdman decided he wanted to do it. You know, this guy, you know, poses on the front of magazine covers in a wedding dress and this, that, and the third. And he got ridiculed. He got, you know, made fun of. He got bashed by all, every other media outlet, this, that, and the third. And so why in the world, you know, if you're an outsider looking in, you know, if you don't know about, you know, basketball, let's say, you know, North Koreans don't know too much about basketball. If you're outside of looking in, and basketball is one of America's greatest games, one of America's greatest pastimes, if you will, who else would you want to come over and fall into a so-called trap but the idiot of America, if you will? You know, and I'm sure that there are other, you know, people that, you know, have done worse things and done bad things, but if you just look at somebody who's just that stupid and that attention crazy, you know, you really can't look for other than Dennis Rodman. You know, and again, we've all have had our own issues. We all have issues that we deal with, and we're all in our squeaky clean, but, you know, for Dennis Rodman to go over there and to break bread and to pop bottles and to have a party with a man who literally has raised war against the red, white, and blue that you stand for, and has raised war against something that, you know, your country. I have a hard time believing that, you know, Dennis Rodman can be the so-called ambassador for U.S. I have a hard time believing that the North Koreans didn't purposely seek him out to come over there to, you know, make a statement and to, you know, make the U.S. look that much more bad, you know. So I'm not a fan of it. You know, if he wants to write his book, write his book. I don't care if he wants to write a book, you know, or anything like that. But, you know, going over to North Korea was not the move to make there, and it's not going to end well for him. Or, you know, I think the U.S. is going to have to suffer. It's going to have to go through some things that have ramifications behind that, and I hate to say it.
You know what, Dennis? I guess I'm the lone one that believes in you right now. Hopefully you could do something. I hope that, you know, the people of North Korea aren't using you as a laughing stock situation and sending you on your way back to the U.S. Hopefully that you can clear some of these issues up, that there's definitely a gap in between, you know, the camaraderie that we have toward these guys. I mean, this is a country as big as the state of New Jersey that's been giving us all type of mayhem, and they let you in to get as close to their leader, and you guys are building somewhat of a friendship. And he had to learn something from a guy like Phil Jackson or a guy like Michael Jordan to, you know, be resolved by that. And I'm hoping that Zen situation has gotten into his brain, and he's instilling that into these guys, and we could have a better situation. It could be a bigger friendship than we actually think of. But I don't know who else do we get to go over there. I just don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm all for trying to, you know, bridge the gap and, you know, bring peace and this, that, and the third. But, you know, Dennis Rodman is not the correct person. You know, I'm all for doing that, but, you know, you really have to look at Dennis Rodman the person. You know, his resume does not scream, you know, works well with others.
And look, we're sitting here talking about how Phil Jackson had to have rubbed off on him, or Michael Jordan had to have rubbed off on him, or whatever. How is that related in his own personal life? How is that related to the things and the decisions that he's made in his own life? How is he going to be any way somebody who can make decisions or make some sort of a bond for the American people? But don't forget, we are talking about a country that teaches their children songs about killing Americans. They make propaganda films showing their rockets burning down American cities. They have sworn publicly that the United States is their eternal enemy and condemn us to death and destruction at every public speech that they have. This is a country that absolutely hates us. If you step one foot inside the demilitarized zone between South Korea and North Korea, one foot across that line, you will be shot and killed. That is a fact. It is posted on every fence there. The bottom line is...
Dennis Rodman got there, and he's back in America. He didn't get shot and all this other stuff. We listen to Happy Metal. I don't, but people listen to Heavy Metal. There's satanic stuff that goes on in Heavy Metal. Heck, even in hip-hop, people that talk about guns getting shot, this, that, and the third. Everybody has their own crazy twist to music or beliefs or whatever they may end up following. And at the end of the day, if we look at how Dennis Rodman's life was portrayed when he was in the NBA to him now in his late 40s or 50 years of age, you have to think some things have changed. Yeah, he may still listen to that grunge type of music. Of course, he's still pierced up, tattooed to death, and he still colors his hair. At the end of the day, he's still a human being that resides in the USA, and his children are still here. So I don't think he'll make moves just to benefit himself, so he's good. He gets a good pass in North Korea, and the rest of the 270 plus million people that live here in the U.S. have to fend for themselves at the end of the day. Believe me, he has to be causing some type of change while he's over there.
Well, I don't think that we can bring up Dennis Rodman to care for his children at all as far as this is concerned, because if you look at it, I believe at one point in time, the stat was that Dennis Rodman actually had more child support owed than the entire state of Rhode Island. So we don't want to confuse anything there. The problem that I have with this is the fact that Ty, and I'm going to put it out here like this: if we were in a communist dictatorship, first off. And that's what the United States was, okay? And as much as anybody wants to talk about the current president and what's going on in politics today, E-Dub and I have talked about this on several occasions. I'm an independent. I am on the fence. I don't pick one side or the other. I pick who I think is going to be better for my country, and that's it. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to this kind of situation, if we were in a communist dictatorship, if the United States was a communist state, and we were a dictatorship, and we had sworn, and I mean sworn, and preached every day and in every classroom and in everything that you had ever learned that people from France were the enemy, and that we wanted to kill everybody in France, and that France was absolutely down with France and everything else, and we weren't the melting pot that we are as the United States. The bottom line is, if that's what we preached every day, And that's what we did every day, and that's what our children lived and learned as they were growing up, and everybody who joins the PRK and everybody who is a North Korean soldier is taught that the Americans are the enemy. If that's what we were taught and that's what we learned, we wouldn't have a French person, a French nationality person, come to our country unless it was somebody that we could use against France in some sort of way. Just like you said, there's got to be a reason why Rodman's going over there to help or whatever. There's got to be a reason why the North Koreans let Dennis Rodman, of all people, come over to their country and do what has been done. And when it comes down to this kind of situation, you have to look at this. And I mean, hell, look at it now. People who were alive during the Cuban Missile Crisis and who were alive during the Cold War and were alive during those times, they hear a Russian accent and they still are a bit fishy about it. And this has been done and over with for a while. But the bottom line is, these kind of things just don't go away. And it's not like this is a situation that's fizzling out. It was no more than 2 months ago that North Korea actually was testing their third atomic weapon that was meant for the United States, if they can get an ICBM that'll reach us in time. So let's not be confused about this. This isn't something that sending a guy over who's going to wear a wedding dress around with red hair is going to be able to fix. when it comes to the fact that this guy has his finger on a button, and as soon as that button is able to reach Los Angeles or San Francisco or whatever country is whatever city is close enough, he's going to push that damn button. And there's no question about that. These people do not like us, and it goes way further down than like. You know what I'm saying? We talk about love and how we have how I love, you know, Ty, you always talk, I love the Thunder. Well, the bottom line is I love the United States. And the fact of the matter is this is not something that is a good situation for the United States. These are people who have no intention whatsoever of doing anything nice when it comes to this country. They feel that they have been wronged way too many times by us for there to ever be a, oh, well, you know what, we like this guy because he could rebound, so you know what, we're going to spare you. No. The minute that they get a chance to, they will strike, and they will strike at the heart of what we know to be good.
Yeah, they eternally condemned us when we got into the Korean War, when they were fighting South Korea. They have never forgiven us for that, and like you just touched, Brandon, this is a horrible idea. This is the United States' number one enemy, period.
Well, in the words of Tupac, Dennis Rodman, I got nothing but love for you. Do your thing, boy. Do your thing. I don't care if people paint the picture. And you painted the picture yourself on being an image that a lot of people don't like, but if you gotten that close, I mean, that, hey.
It's not a responsible decision maker.
Hang on. There's a few million people that did not get that far. So I don't know what you did or what type of invite he sent you or how many jokes you cracked, or I don't even know how you fell into getting that statement out telling him that you're a friend for life. I don't know how far this is gone, but I give him some credit to get that far. I mean, if he looked at Obama and said, if you step 1 millimeter, I don't know if you know how small a millimeter is, off of your American shores to come this way, it's on and popping. It's on and popping. So, hey, bravo, I got to tip my hat to you that way. I do want to get away from this one because I got an interesting topic that I wanted to get to. I told JG I would get there. And this is the battle of the streaks tomorrow. The Memphis Grizzlies have a streak. As soon as Tayshaun Prince got traded there, these guys have been on an 8-game streak of winning right now. And, of course, we all know the Heat have the best streak in the NBA right now, which is an 11 or 12 game. I think it's a 12-game streak.
As of this
far right now. These guys are in South Beach tomorrow for an epic matchup. Now, mind you, the last game that the Grizzlies played, they were down 25 to the Mavericks. Now, one, I want to know how you guys feel about the Mavericks, because he's up throughout there that the Mavericks are still hungry, and these guys lost a 25-point lead. I think that these guys are damaged. But with that being said, I want to see how people feel about this matchup. Do you think the Grizzlies can go to South Beach and steal one, or do you think this streak gets to 13 for the Miami Heat and the so-called Heatles? I will go to Sirius first.
Wow, you know, I cannot wait to sit down and watch this game tomorrow. Personally, gentlemen, I do believe that the Heat streak continues. I love what Memphis is doing. I just do not think with the way LeBron and D-Wade is playing right now that very too many people can stop them. A lot has to go right, in my opinion, for the Memphis Grizzlies to go in there and get that win. If this game was on the road, I may have leaned more towards Memphis, but right now, with it being in South Beach, I'm going with the Heat.
Okay, so let me twist the question a little bit. D-Dub, I'll come to you. What do the Grizzlies have to do to go into Miami to steal this game?
What they have to do is they're going to have to find a way to calm LeBron James down and make him just one-dimensional. That's the only way they're going to do it. This team's playing way too hot right now. They're in Miami. They're overmatched. I don't see it happening, Ty. But that's the only way they have a chance in this game is if they play great defense and shut down LeBron.
Okay, and Brandon, do you think that they will go in the same situation that E-Dub hit on, or is it a situation that they let LeBron go crazy and shut down everybody else a part of the Miami Heat roster?
You know, to me, this game obviously is you know, between two of the hotter teams in the NBA right now. You know, you got an 8-game winning streak. You got a 12-game winning streak. You know, the Memphis Grizzlies are a bit of an enigma in the fact that, you know, they barely score 90 points a game. With that kind of offensive output, it really kind of throws a little bit of question up on getting rid of a scorer like Rudy Gay, obviously. But, you know, like you said, since Tayshaun Prince has got there, they've been on an 8-game winning streak, which is completely awesome. To me, there's only one way that the Memphis Grizzlies win this game, and that's if they put a sniper in the rafters and, you know, pop LeBron in the knee or something. To me, right now, I just feel like this Miami Heat team, I'm going to continue to ride the Miami Heat bandwagon until one of the tires falls off of it, because this thing, I mean, No, I'm not leaving L.A. I told you already. Look, you can read it on my Sports City Chat profile. I am a Los Angeles Lakers fan through and through. I will always root for the Los Angeles Lakers.
You have to reword that phrase. Did you just say jump on the bandwagon? That is not safe in his kitchen, especially with you being a Lakers fan.
Look, don't try and twist my words. Read the Sports City Chef profile. I am a LeBron James fan. I have been since he was a junior in high school. So the bottom line is, look, even when the Miami Heat play against the Los Angeles Lakers, I hope LeBron scores 40 and the Lakers win. That's how I roll with it. So the bottom line, though, is I really don't see Memphis being able – to hold Miami to little enough points for them to be able to win a game against them. Memphis does have the number one defensive team in the NBA right now, but at the same time, their scoring offense is actually, I believe, the worst in the NBA as well. So this is one of those kind of things where the Miami Heat, I believe, get to 13 in a row here. And I think that Memphis, you know, although that they have solidified their spot really in that top four to five, because I think Denver's really making a push here at the end of the season. But I think that the Memphis Grizzlies, you know, are going to be a team that continues to play strong throughout the rest of the season. But I really think that lack of offense is really going to hurt them when it comes time to the playoffs.
Okay, and I kind of already know where this answer is going to go, but the Heat fan himself, I think he's actually kind of converted Brandon a little bit. You know, these guys are brothers. We all are brothers here. I can't even say these guys because those are my brothers too. But I think he converted Brandon somewhat to get him to jump on that bandwagon. He grabbed him by his right hand and pulled him on. But
converted by ass.
JG, whatever. You can say what you want. You already just said you're jumping on the bandwagon, and we could replay the videotape and all of that mess. But anyway, JG, your thoughts on this matchup with your boys at home up against the Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies are streaking alongside with you. Do you think these guys can play that defense that they've been playing and slow you guys up, or do you think you guys can continue to roll and carry this to 13?
I am excited for this game tomorrow night. I think it's going to be a very competitive game. I do not see the Heat losing or the Grizzlies winning, but if you were to ask me what the Grizzlies have to do in order to possibly pull out the upset, it would be that they have to get Gasol and Zach Randolph going early. If they can get those guys hot to get the big men going, I mean, we all know that Miami Heat aren't a very big team, even with the acquisition of Anderson. But at the same time, the matchup that I think is going to be happening a lot that we should probably look out for is LBJ D'ing up on Randolph in the paint. I mean, Randolph is more of a natural power forward, but, I mean, I haven't compared size, but damn near probably the exact same size. And obviously LeBron towers over him as far as athleticism, and that's That's the Heat. They're full of athleticism. You know, you can try and do the whole New York Knicks thing and let one try and let one guy beat you and pull away at the end with one guy putting up 50, but there's no way that you're going to be able to let LeBron go crazy and then still hold D. Wade to, like, 14 points and Chris Bosh to, like, 9 points or something. They have too much firepower. Ray Allen, he has been hit or miss a lot of the season, but as of the last 6 or 7 games or so, he's picked it up. He's put up 20 points in the last couple of games. He might be starting to get into a groove, finally maybe getting comfortable in the system. You know, I'm excited for this matchup tomorrow night, but the Miami Heat are on just a complete different level right now. LeBron is, as we all know, out of his mind. Keep dunking, keep winning, keep it going.
And, of course, I got that far and thought Jason would overlook the situation, and he threw it out there. I thought the X factor for the Grizzlies tomorrow would be the big boys, being Gasol and Z-Bo. If these guys have exceptional games, because these guys have the capability to both go 20 and 10 apiece. If those guys show up and have those type of games and can get Chris Bosh and whoever they put in the paint as their number 5 and get these guys in foul trouble and present a defensive issue for the Heat, they can go in there and steal that game. That's probably the only way I see that panning out. I think Conley and Chalmers, these guys kind of equate each other out. I don't know who they're going to get to slow down Wade and LeBron. That's going to be a troublesome situation, but they do play some good defense, so I do give the Grizzlies that credit in that retrospect. I really think it comes down to the bigs in this game, and if I have to give the edge to one team or the other, I do like the Sol and Z-Bo up against, if possible, if they're going to roll with Battier and Bosh, or if they're going with Bosh and Anthony. I wonder how Folster's going to run that set to see if the Heat can contend and deal with these guys in the paint. But those two are a problem, and the Grizzlies have been putting together a handsome streak thus far. I do have to give them the credit. But anyway, by any means, this is going to be an incredible matchup, and somebody's streak has to end tomorrow. It doesn't matter how many overtimes they go into, somebody has to lose that game. And it's going to be interesting because the Grizzlies are rolling in the Western Conference, making their way up the food chain right now, and the Heat are just dominating the Eastern Conference. It really looks like I don't even see any team really slowing them down out east, possibly the Pacers. The Pacers are playing some inspired basketball. You also got the Knicks that haven't lost to the Heat as of yet, and the Bulls just got their butts kicked the other day by the Heat, too. So, the Heat are in a comfortable situation. Somebody has to slow them up to show that these guys are human at the end of the day. Now, my next topic before we close the doors on Sport City is a situation. Do I talk to Lakers? We talk to these guys. I got this far, and I haven't said a word about purple and gold. I'm proud of myself. You know, I really am. I don't really want to talk about these guys. I got two different topics. I got one with their point guard saying that he does not regret making the move to L.A., and then you also got Dwight Howard in the media again, talking about the 2016 Olympics. Right now, in 2013, really? Like, why are you worried about the Olympics when you have to fix stuff at home? So, either way, I'm going to close the doors on Sports City with this topic. How the state of the Lakers right now. Now, remind you, these guys are in a good game right now. They are playing up against the Minnesota Timberwolves, where they should win this game. They are in the Staples Center, but we have all seen crazier stuff happen. They are up 15. It looks like Minnesota will not walk out of the Staples Center with a win unless Kobe gets a technical or something. But be it as it may, we're going to get out of here on these topics, though. I'm coming to you first, Sirius. Your thoughts on Steve Nash throwing the situation out that he does not regret coming there, and he hasn't really turned around his situation on looking like the Steve Nash of old when he was with Phoenix. And also, why is Dwight worried about the Olympics right now?
I don't know what Dwight's problem is right now. I do believe that, you know, it will behoove him to fix his issues at home, you know, try to get his team in the playoffs or whatnot. You know, the Olympics are literally, you know, 3, maybe 4 seasons away. So I don't understand why he's been worried about that. You know, by that time, his career may be over. You know what I'm saying? If he can't stay healthy, he may, you know, pull a Greg Oden and have to step out, you know. So I don't wish injury on anybody, but my point is take care of at home. Steve Nash, man, kind of a disappointing year. Up to date, I definitely believe that he would have been, that he would have benefited actually from having Kobe in the lineup, you know, somebody who is a first-ballot Hall of Famer, who is a proven scorer, who knows the game as well, if not better than him, and he really doesn't have to teach. I felt personally that, you know, through his days at Phoenix, he was always the mentor to a younger crew. Yeah, they got up and ran. Yeah, they got up and, you know, did this, that, and the third, and D'Antoni had his team flying. And however, I think in L.A., he could have literally taken a step back and just played ball. And his numbers are progressively down this year than I thought they would be. But again, you know, it's a learning experience. You know, I said this early on and you know, previous shows that, you know, Fort Knox wasn't built in a day. It took some time. And I do believe, as much as I hate to say this, I do believe that if Steve Nash and Dwight Howard are able to stay healthy, you know, I think that the Lakers, you know, will inevitably get back to, you know, Western Conference dominance and see what happens. But, you know, I can't fault Steve Nash for moving, you know, to L.A. I would have made the move too. And, you know, as for Dwight Howard, shut up and just get healthy and play ball, man. Work on your free throws.
Right. That's what I was saying. You worried about the Olympics. That's 3 years away. In 2013, you worried about 2016. Jesus. Like, that's what killed me with this dude. Like, come on, man. And you took the headband off finally so you could go back to old Dwight. I feel like the headband might have been the hindrance. But let me get the Laker guys in here to see how they feel before we start closing things up. I'll come to you first, EW. Your thoughts on your point guard and your center.
Yeah, the headband was cutting off circulation, I think, huh? But, no, you know, Dwight Howard, obviously, gentlemen, we all know he should be focusing on getting healthy and averaging 8 more points a game and grabbing a few more rebounds, and things will be fine. I mean, like Sirius just touched on, if he can't stay healthy, there's no way you're going to even be playing in the NBA, let alone the Olympics. So, you know, he just needs to focus on playing and getting better and making the Lakers better. As far as Steve Nash, he played the Lakers for so many years being on Phoenix. He never got anywhere in Phoenix. He saw the Lakers win some titles. So, you know, he signed a 3-year deal. It's not like this was just a one-shot deal for Nash. So, you know, I don't even know why they even asked that question, because if you thought Nash would have gave a different answer, then, you know, you obviously didn't know. But, you know, look for the Lakers next year with this nucleus together. They'll make some noise. But this year we're just getting chemistry down. And then if Dwight wanted to open his mouth, I would have loved if he would have said, we need a new head coach. Then I would have accepted a statement. But other than that, let's play basketball and get better.
That's what I – look at E. That's a chef right there. I like that. Double B, your thoughts on your boys, man, with the statements that these two have made, Nash and him not regretting coming there, and he hasn't really resonated to the Nash that we all know him being in Phoenix. I don't know if it's a situation of Father Time and also Dwight. I mean, him picking to talk about 2016 is definitely head-scratching.
I would be interested to find out whether or not that question, that statement was prompted, whether he was asked about that. That obviously kind of plays into whether he talked about it or not. But at the same time, you know, just like Sirius said, shut up and work on your free throws, man. Like, that's how I feel about it. You know, I've heard enough of Dwight Howard's mouth, period. Kobe Bryant does just as much talking in the media, but there's a difference. When it comes game time, Kobe Bryant comes out and gives 110% and does his best to put his team ahead in the points column. And that's not necessarily the case with Dwight Howard. He's admitted that he's played and wasn't in condition. He's admitted, you know, that these are the kind of things that have been going on. He's admitted he needs to play harder. You know, just shut up and work on your game, man. Just either put put up or shut up. We can all agree he's not putting up to the level of the Orlando Dwight Howard. And I don't know what the hell he was doing wearing that Orlando Magic blue headband with the Los Angeles Lakers gear. I have no idea what that was about. But and as far as Steve Nash goes, you know, obviously Steve Nash likes the move to L.A., but does L.A. like the move of getting Steve Nash? I think that's the real question. You know, obviously I think that he is, and this may be debated by some people, but I don't think so. I feel he's an upgrade over Ramon Sessions. You know, I think that, you know, Steve Nash is the kind of player who can be a catalyst for this team. He's proven that he can still hit the little running jump shot. He's proven his shooting ability in the past. So that's not really an issue. You know, but we all know what the issue is with Steve Nash, and that's his defense. You know, if you look at just the game that's going on right now, it's the beginning of the fourth quarter, I believe, right now. And, you know, the point guards for the Minnesota Timberwolves have already combined for 40 points and 16 assists against them. So, you know, this is definitely a problem thing for them. I mentioned it before. I would have liked to have seen the Lakers try and make some sort of move to shore up the point guard position, at least for the end of the game in defensive situations. But, you know, it is what it is. The Lakers have to play with what they have on the floor. I really do think, like Edub said, that, you know, next year at the beginning of the season, we're really going to see what the true potential of this Lakers team is going to be. But it is unfortunately taken this long, if not longer, to get the kind of chemistry together that that the Lakers, you know, have obviously needed for the entirety of the season. And, you know, they dug themselves in a deep hole, and they've done a good job of coming back out of that hole, but at the same time, I just fear that it might be just a little, you know, too little, too late kind of thing. But, you know, as far as being a Lakers fan, Nash, I like the guy a lot. I think the guy brings a lot to the club. I just really think that they need another point guard there to either split time with him or to come in as a backup that's not Steve Blake. You know, Blake's got 11 points tonight, but, you know, Steve Blake to me is not a quality point guard in the NBA. So, you know, I would say that just to kind of summarize, you know, Dwight Howard needs to put up or shut up, and Steve Nash needs to just continue paying dividends on the investment that Los Angeles made in him with the 3-year deal, and prove that he's not quite over the hill yet.
And you threw Sessions in there, but do you know who was more productive with this roster between Sessions and Nash? Sessions. I'm just saying. And these guys were in playoff contention. And the Lakers are on the outside looking in with number 10 running the point. Okay, so JC, before we get out of here, I want to hear your speculation on the situation with Nash saying that he doesn't regret the move and these guys are at the nice team. So it is interesting that these guys are at the doorstep possibly trying to make their way into the Western Conference playoff picture. Looking at the Houston Rockets, wink, 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 if the Rockets end up slipping, guess what? These guys are going to be just like they were last year on the outside looking in. But your thoughts on Nash and Howard's comments at this point in the game?
I definitely agree with Nash's statement as far as not regretting going to L.A. How could anyone regret going to L.A. late in your career and teaming up with Kobe Bryant to try and win a ring before you hang him up? You can't argue with that at all. But I honestly still feel like as far as a team with Kobe Bryant, I feel like Kobe Bryant can't coexist with a point guard that needs to have the ball in his hand. I feel like they would be better suited off with a point guard of similar attributes to like a Mario Chalmers, or not that Nate Robinson is who you would take, but someone who can penetrate the lane and drive to the hole and who can slash and he's quick and who can play defense. I feel like when they were talking about picking up Nash that they kind of were aware of his lack of defense, but they kind of threw it to the curb because they were hoping, assuming that, you know, having Kobe, Powell, and Dwight in the paint, that, you know, they would be able to lock up the defense and kind of make up for the lack of defense by Nash. But Nash, he's still having a decent year. Obviously, his points are down, his assists are down, but the ball is obviously not in his hand as much. He's still shooting like 52%. He's shooting like 90% as he always does from the line, like 45 or 47% maybe or so from behind the arc. He's not over the hill, like Brandon was just saying. He's definitely not over the hill still. It's just the whole situation in L.A. is just messed up. And as far as Dwight, I am over my head and done with Dwight Howard. He's got to take care of business, that's all. He's got to shut his mouth. He's got to worry about what's going on right now. Who knows what this guy's thinking about in the game right now? Why do you think Kobe Bryant's getting so pissed at this guy every day in the locker room? Because this guy's head is always somewhere else. He says he's out of condition physically on the court. The dude's out of condition mentally on the court and off the court. He's talking about 2016 Olympics. He's just worrying, trying to think about when's the next best chance that he can win a ring. I mean, he's got to just, like Brandon said, nut up or shut up.
Wow. And that's what I call cross-country talk. That's what I'm talking about, Sports City. But I got to get you guys out of here, and I'm coming right back to you, JG, because I know you got to run first and foremost before I get the rest of the chefs out of here, including myself. But give me a plug and a closeout as we get out of the cafe.
Yes, sir. I enjoyed the evening with you guys tonight. It's always an eventful evening. Not so much Laker talk tonight, but can't go out night in the kitchen without talking about those lovely Lakers. But check out the website, sportscitychefs.com, the blogs. I got one hopefully coming tomorrow. I know I said that on Tuesday as well, but that's in the lab. It's in the works. I got it coming up. But check out the interviews, the blogs, the website. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and I will see you guys on Tuesday, and go eat, go.
I don't know what to do with this dude. This dude is really taking my line. Like you know what? I got to go to Michigan. That's it. I've had enough. I got to give my tail to Michigan and treat them like the Nittany Lions. Oops. Sorry. Okay, so E-Dub, let me get a plug and a close out of you, brother. Thank you for coming to this cafe and helping me shut this one down.
Another good show down tonight, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure being here as always. Thanks to all the listeners out there. Check us out 7 days a week, sportscitychefs.com. Got something for everybody's appetite out there. I'll see you guys tomorrow right here on the Roundtable of Sports, 4:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Good night.
Definitely. And last but not least, the man of the hour right now. We're still waiting for that one to come out of the oven, man. I'm smiling. I'm happy, but Emma's being stubborn. I think she still wants to, you know, stay in the confines of being warm. But give me a plug and a closeout as we get out of the kitchen.
Well, you know, I'm under the mindset that I believe that she's waiting until the weather gets a little bit warmer. She's warm where she is now. She's going to try and stay that way until it gets a little warmer outside. That's the only thing I got to explain it. But, you know, it was a great show tonight, guys. Good time talking some basketball with you guys. Nice to spice it up a little bit with a little NCAA basketball talk. You know, sportscitychefs.com, like everybody else said, check out the website, man. I did a really good interview last night. You got some really great information last night from Jason David Frank, who was the Green Ranger on Power Rangers, also a professional mixed martial arts fighter now. If you haven't checked it out, stop by, check out that show. Really, really a great interview. You know, make sure you stop by on Sunday afternoon. Check out the baseball buffet. We'll be talking about some spring training issues, some things going on with your favorite teams around Major League Baseball. So, you know, with that being said, guys, you know, let's go Lakers.
Hey, look, now he tried to jump back to the Lakers ship. E-Dub, you know what? I will revoke his Lakers license. E-Dub, if you could get to Ohio, go and revoke his stuff, because you heard him say he's on the Eagles bandwagon. And believe me, I've been seeing him post stuff about the Heat, too. This is what happens, Sports City, man.
Hey, just like everybody's saying in politics right now, come and take it.
Look, I'm going to eat up. I'm going to eat up, E-Dub. Listen, you don't even know. E-Dub was, listen, we went to Vegas. E-Dub put on his Kobe jersey. It was people out the window screaming at him. He was like, you know what? Viva Los Lakers.
Yeah.
You up here talking about you on the Heat bandwagon. E-Dub, am I lying?
No, sir.
SportCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, and the chefs. Y'all know I keep heat in the kitchen, and I'm not talking Miami. Check us out tomorrow. We got the round table. I got the timers hour popping off on Saturday. I'm talking about everything NCAA, MMA, boxing, basketball, baseball, you name it. You come to this kitchen, I got a dish for you. But on that note, y'all can tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know. They got me staring at the world through my rear view. Hope he's maybe screaming to God. He can help you with your problems. Stuff is wild when we come through. They can relate to chef music, help them with their problems. Turn us up. What's your problem? Sports City, that's all I got. I'm gone.